Tim Meisberg.com.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Happy Halloween to you. And I'm feeling pretty Halloween-y. Wait, that didn't come out right. But I'm definitely feeling the spirit of the day. I've got my Halloween t-shirt on and I've got my ghost shirt that I've been wearing to all of my ghost presentations. It's been a lot of, thanks to Dash, I've been able to wear this frequently. Thank you, Dash Laundromat. But I definitely did not wash it between last night's presentation and today. So, but I only had it on for the hour I was speaking yesterday. We've got a lot that we can discuss today. And of course, we can certainly have some Halloween fun. We can talk about local ghost stories. I've been sharing some of the stories we've written in recent years on the WBSM Facebook page. So we can definitely talk about some of those. We can talk about trick-or-treating. I put a question up on the WBSM Facebook page this morning. What is the best and worst candy to receive when trick-or-treating? And I also put my own answer down. The best, far and away, hands down, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, although I will say I think I might be losing my taste for those. And it's not a weight loss thing. I think it's that something's changed. They're not the same as they used to be, I don't think. I find that they have a different consistency of peanut butter to chocolate. It's more chocolate than peanut butter. And they don't seem to taste the same. Still good. Still probably the best candy out there, but just different. So they are absolutely hands down the best. And Bit of Honey was kind of, it was that or Mary Jane's. And I'm like, does anybody really give those candies out anymore? It's not like you can walk into the store and get a big bag of Bit of Honey and say, I'm going to go pass these out on Halloween. And I don't even know that when I was a kid in the 80s that was happening. I think it was more like they got a big bag of mixed candy and they would put that in there. But like I said before, my grandfather had a sweet tooth and my grandmother would bring him home the bulk candy from the supermarket. And that was one of his favorites. And he had false teeth. So I don't know how he ate those with false teeth when I couldn't eat them with real teeth. But you can give me your answer on that, either on the Facebook page or you can put it on in an app chat message. You can send me an open line voicemail or you can call in 508-996-0500. We can also talk about some of the best horror films because a lot of folks will be looking for a good horror movie to watch. Excuse me, after the kids are done trick-or-treating tonight, whether it be their own kids going out trick-or-treating or whether it be the neighborhood kids knocking on the door. And I had a tradition of making sure that I always watched a horror movie. Usually it was Halloween, like the movie Halloween, or one of the sequels. But it could be anything. I don't know that I'll have a chance this year, though, because we have to bowl because they wouldn't postpone this night. They wouldn't say it was a night off. And I'm going to guess that there's going to be very few people there. Maybe we'll get done early and I can still go home and watch a horror movie before I have to go to bed. So those are some of the topics that we'll throw out for today. But in a story that is also, I guess, kind of tied into Halloween as well, certainly tied into the local paranormal world, we've been following the saga of what's been going on at the Conjuring House since this summer. So basically, you know, in a nutshell, for those who haven't been following it, the owner of the Conjuring House, Jacqueline Nunez, who bought the house a few years ago, 2022, I believe, she bought it from Corey and Jen Heinzen, who had bought it from the last kind of residential owner, Norma Sutcliffe. And Norma, you know, was fed up kind of with the fact that people were always trespassing on her property because this house had been made famous by the Conjuring movie. So she put it up for sale. Corey and Jen, who were paranormal investigators from Maine, they bought it and they started opening it up for people to go and investigate and do overnights and things like that. They put it up for sale for, they had their own reasons, and they sold it to Jacqueline Nunez. They felt like she was the right person to own it. Although now they've kind of come back and said, she forced their hand on the sale. And I'm still not exactly sure how all of that plays out. I'm not a realtor. I'm not a mortgage broker. I don't know how someone can come in and say, you know, you're selling me this house. Unless you owe debt, and then she bought the note on the debt. But I haven't gotten into that with Jen and Corey because I don't want to ask my friends about their financial situation. So she purchased it, and she has continued on running events and things there. And she had a team of people that worked for her. Now, there are people who were dedicated to this house because it is a cool place and it does have interesting activity. And there are people who just want to be part of the story. So there were a lot of folks that were really, really dedicated to this place. And some of those people who were dedicated to that place, she ended up getting into discrepancies with. She hired somebody to be a full-time manager and then fired him when, in her words, the ghost of John Arnold told her that Brian was stealing from her. And so without any proof other than that, she fired him, and now he's suing her for money she never paid him even while he was working there. Then Cody and Satori, who were working there and running their, building their haunted museum in the barn, the barn catches fire, burns down. They say she told them she was going to give them money from the insurance proceeds to cover the items that they lost in the fire. She now says that she didn't say that, or that she, I don't remember exactly what her stance was on that, but they ended up quitting along with some other folks who were very dedicated to that house because of Jacqueline Nunez's alleged behavior. Jacqueline starts lashing out at them via the Conjuring House Facebook page and is writing these wild posts that had gone viral, but that were just clearly somebody that is going through some sort of mental health crisis, in my opinion. And then Satori's father, TV's Ghost Hunters star Jason Haas, becomes the target of some of her ire, and Jason's kind of pushing back on some of the things that she's claiming. Next thing you know, she's putting out videos and claiming that Jason Haas is in her driveway, and then she's sending him text messages saying, I know that you're a trained assassin and you're coming to kill me. It, just wild stuff. And it's been going back and forth. When they stopped engaging, according to them, they stopped engaging, she would start, and they blocked her from being able to text them and message them. She started making sending payments to them on like Venmo and stuff, and then attaching messages to it with what she thinks about them. So she sent them like a 2 cent payment so that she could give her 2 cents worth. There's some other stuff that's been going on. There were people that would show up for events at the house or because they'd rented out the house for the weekend and then she wouldn't be there. All kinds of things like that going on. Most recent news before this week was that she had been institutionalized for a second time, put into a mental health facility against her will for the second time. But then she got out. She was released because this week, and it's all over the news, so this is not me, you know, piling on somebody. I actually like Jacqueline in the interactions that we've had. I felt, too, that she was the right person to own the place at the beginning. And she's always been very accommodating to me. We had plans for me to go there and do some stuff. And when they started the glamping experience, the camping in the backyard, or gamping, they call it G-H-A-M-P-I-N-G. But, you know, and these aren't just like pitch a tent camping experiences. These are like fancy tent and cabins. And so when she started that, I wrote an article and she was like, come spend the night. I never did, but, you know, we had a pretty good kind of professional working relationship. And so it pains me to see a person that I thought was a good person going through something like this, because it sounds to me like this is external issues. And I don't mean paranormal issues. This isn't the house is doing this to her. People say that stuff all the time. That's not what this is. This is somebody's own issues who also happens to own a haunted house. So earlier this week, Jacqueline Nunez was arrested and charged with driving under the influence of liquor and eluding law enforcement in a high speed pursuit. This is not good. This is not just you got pulled over, you were drinking, you were caught drinking, now you're going to lose your license, but, you know, you're sorry. That's not what this was. This was the same arrogance, the same disdain, the same kind of unhinged conspiracy theories, the stuff that she had been posting on social media about the people who had wronged her, all came out when the police pulled her over. The same type of attitude. So I'm just looking at the WPRI report, but all the Providence stations have something on this, and they all have now the body cam footage of the police officers that pulled her over. So they attempted to pull her over for erratic driving. And then by the time the police got to where she had reportedly been, she wasn't there, but they eventually found her and attempted to pull her over. And then she allegedly sped off. And then led officers through a brief pursuit through town, during which she kept randomly swerving and rapidly accelerating, according to police. She eventually stopped in front of a home on Wallam Lake Road. The police drew their weapons when they approached the vehicle because they don't know what's going on. They don't know if this person is, you know, trying to run from them and going to cause them problems. So they draw their weapons and approach her car, and she's asking, you know, what's wrong? The officers reported, quote, the overwhelming odor of an alcoholic beverage emitting from her breath, and noticed that her eyes were bloodshot, watery, and glassy. And at one point they asked her if she has any weapons on her as she was being handcuffed and searched, and she says, oh my expletive God, I don't even know how to fire an arm. She identified herself as the owner of the Conjuring House and admitted to having three drinks at a nearby bar, but became defensive when asked if she knew why she was being detained. She said, so because I had three drinks, I'm being handcuffed? Then they asked her, why did you not pull over for the past 5 miles we've been following you around? And she said, I had no understanding of why you were following me. Okay, so why didn't you pull over so we could figure it out instead of pulling away as soon as I got out of the car? The officer continued. Well, I just pulled over, so why are you being so aggressive? And this just goes back and forth and back and forth. And she says, well, it sounds like there's more important things you need to pay attention to. She's being very belligerent with the police officers. And belligerence has been a hallmark of the approach she's had to things as of late. She says, it sounds like you need to find a lot more things to pay attention to. And the officer says, how about the people you almost hit driving down there? You reek of booze and you didn't stop. What did you want us to do? So they give her field sobriety tests. The officer is explaining to her how the test is going to work. Says, you know, follow my finger. And she says, you're boring me. And then he says, in order for me to do the test, you have to listen to what I'm telling you. And then she responded with, no, you're going to do it so you can save face, but go ahead. Then they asked her to walk a line, and they gave her certain instructions for how to do it. And she wasn't following the instructions, and she was kind of mockingly striking poses and just insulting the officers when they took her to the police station after they had placed her under arrest. She was insulting officers at the police station. And then she told Channel 12 she had been treated horribly by the officers. My life has been hijacked. I was sarcastic during the field sobriety test because it was ridiculous. I am not a criminal. I have never been arrested. So, unfortunately, this is someone in their worst moments having this put out to the world because they're the owner of the Conjuring House. And when all of this started, the people that were involved and had quit on her because of her behavior didn't want to make this public. And they didn't want this to turn into what it's turned into. But her belligerence has made it into that. There was a wild post one Sunday morning, very early in the morning, about how it wasn't her posting it. It was Elizabeth Hurley, the actress. And that Elizabeth Hurley and Jacqueline were in love, and that the people who worked at the Conjuring House were trying to keep them apart. And there was a threat that Elizabeth Hurley, quote unquote, would kill anybody that got in the way of the two of them being together. And it was after that post that the Conjuring House page disappeared from Facebook. I'm assuming Facebook took it down because they'd gotten so many complaints from people about the things she was posting. So I don't know where this goes from here. I feel bad for people that have events and investigations booked there, but they were also warned. People had been telling them now for months. Cancel your reservation. Try to get your money back. It's not going to go well. And so that's where we're at right now, where, you know, I don't know if anybody's still there working. I've heard from people who were guests there that there's been more outbursts, more issues. So I hope she gets the help that she needs. I hope this is a wake-up call for her. It doesn't sound like it based on the comments she made to Channel 12. But if she can defeat her demons, and I mean that in the, you know, personal affliction sense, not the actual literal sense, I still think she can be a good owner for that house, but not with her current actions and her current behavior. And maybe if that's the case, it might be best to just sell it off. But she's vowed never to sell it. Matt Rife, the comedian, through a friend of his, offered to buy the house. And for some reason, people think that that guy is funny and he has a ton of money and could she could name her price and he would pay it because he just wants it. But she said she'll never sell. And there are very few people that could actually purchase the property and continue running it so that people would have access to it. In all likelihood, if it got sold, it would probably become a private residence. Although, if she's trying to recoup what she paid for it, I don't know that somebody would pay that to live there. So I don't know where this goes. It's sad, and I hope that she gets help. And, you know, the Conjuring House is second to a person in crisis. 508-996-0500. We have App Chat and Open Line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, I'm going to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. The same thing, because I shouldn't be eating candy. But it's okay. You can have a little bit on Halloween. Just don't go out and buy all the clearance candy starting tomorrow. You don't need that laying around the house. And I have a tendency to do that. Especially those white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups and ghosts and all that. Oh yeah. When I see those at 75% off, it's hard to resist buying the bag. All right. Well, let's turn it over now to our very own ghoul in the newsroom, Phil Devitt.
Trump and Harris in the final campaign stretch. A new number in the McDonald's E. coli outbreak. And how to avoid eating all that Halloween candy.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Election day is fast approaching, and the candidates are making their final stops. Donald Trump arrived to a Wisconsin campaign event in a MAGA-themed garbage truck.
And I have to begin by saying 250 million Americans are not garbage.
Trump rode the truck in an effort to draw attention to comments made by President Biden, who called Trump's supporters garbage. Those remarks were in response to remarks about Puerto Rico made by a comic at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally. Kamala Harris was on the campaign trail, also in the battleground state of Wisconsin.
As president, I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress.
The vice president hosted a rally in Madison, saying it was good to be back in the town where she spent several years of her childhood. Biden will be at the next presidential inauguration. That's according to White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. During Wednesday's press briefing, Jean-Pierre said the president believes in the peaceful transfer of power. The U.S. military conducted several strikes on ISIS camps in Syria this week. It reported the strikes conducted on Monday resulted in the deaths of nearly three dozen ISIS operatives. Senior ISIS leaders were the targets of the airstrikes. The number of people infected from the McDonald's Quarter Pounder E. coli outbreak has risen to 90. Brian Shook with the details.
The CDC says 27 have been hospitalized and one person was killed as a result. Two more people developed a serious condition that can cause kidney failure. The outbreak was first reported on October 22nd and has affected 13 states. Colorado has the highest number of infections, with 29 people sickened. I'm Brian Shook.
A hearing to decide the fate of the Menendez brothers is set for December. TMZ reports a judge will make a decision on that day that could see Eric and Lyle walk free immediately. The brothers were convicted of fatally shooting their parents in 1989, claiming it was out of fear of abuse. House Speaker Mike Johnson denying that he wants to repeal Obamacare. The Louisiana Republican told The Hill that despite Vice President Harris's campaign referring to comments he made at a campaign stop, he never said he wanted to end Obamacare. And it's safe to say Halloween is not a big day for health. Bree Tennis with the better choice from the candy dish.
The problem with sugar is it makes you crave more sugar, but it's the component that makes everything good. Everyday Health says to satisfy that craving and not fall into a sugar coma this Halloween, reach for smaller portions. Dark chocolate has antioxidants and anything with nuts, because nuts boost protein. The reality is you probably won't, because Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is the number one selling candy for a reason.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics lost to the Indiana Pacers in overtime, 135-132. They head to Charlotte to play the Hornets on Friday. Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7, and the Patriots and Tennessee Titans on Sunday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Getting up to about 80 degrees on the South Coast today to finish out October. Nice day for Halloween. Should be nice and comfortable for trick-or-treaters tonight. Still warm on Friday. A cold front bringing light showers early in the day and cooler air for the first week of November back in the 50s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bell started ringing and chains rattled loud. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still I made up in my mind to stay. Nothing was gonna drive me away. When I seen something to give me the creep. Had one big eye and a two big feet. I stood right still and I did the freeze. He did the stroll right up to me. Made a noise with his feet that sound like a drum. Say you'll be here when the morning comes. Say yes, I'll be here when the morning comes. I'll be right here and I ain't gonna run. I bought this house, now you know I'm. Ain't gonna run me off.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Would you leave from a haunted house? I mean, I guess it depends on the level of activity. I can tell you that most of the people that I've dealt with and the cases that I've dealt with and the stories that I've heard, it's not like the horror films where stuff is happening so often and so much that you just can't, you know, there isn't a room like in Poltergeist where you open the door and the toys are flying around the room and nobody can go in there anymore. Most of the time there aren't, you know, houses like the Amityville Horror House where there's flies gathering on every window. You know, I've heard stories about that, but most of the things that I've investigated and heard from people is that it's just weird things happen every now and then. And if that's the case, you can live with it. I mean, if you look at a case like the Amityville Horror story, where the Lutz family moved into what was their dream house, really, and got it for such a deal, they paid $80,000 for that giant house. I know we're talking about, you know, 1975 money, 74, but we're also talking about the life savings of this couple. And after 28 days, they leave. And as I always said, I used to always say, well, that's convenient. They left right before the first mortgage payment would be due. But I've gotten to know Chris Lutz, one of the Lutz children, and he said, no, that's not what happened. That's not the case. It was that things were just too much and we couldn't handle it. Nobody wanted to leave that house. But some people just can't deal with it. It would take a lot to get me to move. Mainly because I hate moving. And if I had just moved into a place and there were ghosts, the last thing I'm thinking is I'm going to move out now. Because I just got finished moving. I'd say, you know what? Those ghosts can move. or we'll just learn to live together, which more often than not is the case. That's usually how it works out. So I'm asking the question, and I posted it on the WBSM Facebook page, best and worst candy to get while trick-or-treating on Halloween. I say the best was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and the worst was Bitto Honey. Christine says she agrees with me that the best is Reese's, the worst, black licorice. And I would definitely agree with that, too. Black licorice is horrible. However, I don't remember really getting black licorice in my trick-or-treat bag. Certainly some red licorice, certainly Twizzlers. But I don't remember ever getting black licorice. And if I did, I definitely would have given that to my grandfather because he loved it. Natalie says the best is M&M's. The worst, Necco wafers. I'm also going to agree that Necco wafers are terrible. It's like if you told AI to create candy, but AI had no idea what candy should taste like. It would be like, it has all the components of candy. There's sugar in it, and it should taste good, but in reality, it doesn't. A Necco wafer tastes like if somebody gave you a paper towel to wipe something off your tongue. You know, like sometimes you're like, oh, this is so spicy. Oh, I can't get it off my tongue. Here, wipe it with a paper towel. Wipe it with a napkin, and you rub that on your tongue. That was like what eating a Necco wafer was like. And for some reason, they're still a popular candy. People still like them. I don't get it. You could drop a Necco wafer in a payphone, and it would count it as a quarter. How is that candy? Pretty sure that if you ran out of chalk at school, you could pull out a Necco wafer and write on the board. So those are some of the responses we're getting so far. And I'd be interested to hear yours as well, 508-996-0500. And again, it's Halloween. Let's have fun. Let's talk about horror movies and Halloween candy. And we'll play some horror theme songs, maybe some horror movie soundtrack songs. I will reiterate that if you are looking for a good, spooky movie to watch tonight, don't sleep on Skinamarink. It's not for everybody. Some people don't like it. Most people actually say that they didn't get it. They weren't a fan of it, but I found it to be very creepy, very unnerving. Just don't watch it if you have epilepsy because it can cause seizures. There's a lot of flashing lights. But you can get it on Hulu. It's called Skinamarink. And again, two children wake up. I think one's three, one's five. They wake up. Their parents are gone, and all the windows and doors are missing from the house, and there's something else in the house with them. That's the basic premise, and that's really the entire plot. And then it's just a series of scenes of them dealing with the situation. But it was like every one of my childhood nightmares come to life. One of my other frequent nightmares when I was a kid, and even into adulthood, was I'd be in like a tall building and Godzilla would be outside. And I'd be like running through the building trying to hide so that Godzilla wouldn't see me. And then eventually there'd be like the one room that I get to that, you know, there is this eye in the window looking at me. But yet Godzilla movies have never been scary to me. I don't consider those horror films. But for some people, the idea of that giant monster scares them. I'm just reading some of the, trying to see if we can get some updated responses to our candy question. Cause I know this is something people are going to have some very strict opinions on. 508-996-0500. Let's take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments.
What's up? I like. Yeah, I can't stand. Woo! No running around. I can't stand. No putting me down. I put a spell on you.
Welcome back in. That, of course, is the great Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And I was turned on to his music years ago by legendary Providence disc jockey Jeff Charles, who was telling me how he got into rock and roll. He found a record by Screamin' Jay Hawkins and said, "What's this all about?" He said, "Anybody named Screamin', that's for me." And the story of that song and Screamin' Jay Hawkins is very interesting. The reason why that song was recorded the way that it was, the whole band was highly intoxicated when they recorded it. And they were kind of just messing around. And then you got this seminal moment that turns into the definition of Jay Hawkins' career. And then he goes on to become one of the pioneers of shock rock. You know, performing with a bone through his nose and, you know, emerging from a coffin on stage and wearing, you know, leopard skin costumes and voodoo stage props and all that. And having a real impact on the music industry, not just in the music, but in the showmanship as well. And he's claimed to have as many as 75 children. 33 of them have been identified, but he claims to have had 75. And that song, I play that not only on Halloween, but anytime I play it, in memory of Dirty Deb, because she loved that song. She had never heard Jay Hawkins herself either. I played it one time on my Saturday morning show, and she was like, "What is that?" And I told her, and so then she started diving into the music of Screamin' Jay Hawkins and was all about it. So whenever I play that now, that will go out to Dirty Deb for sure. 508-996-0500. And it is Halloween. It will be trick-or-treating later on. And will it be trick-or-treat for the Patriots, though, on Sunday? I know it'll be, you know, November when they play, but it's still Halloween weekend. Will it be trick or treat for the Patriots, who got their second win of the season over the Jets last week and have their first real shot here at back-to-back wins, because they're taking on the 1-6 Tennessee Titans. Patriots Titans kick off 1 p.m. with pregame on WBSM this Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Remember, if you want to hear our regular Sunday programming, you can hear that on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But you can hear the Patriots on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM all season long right here on WBSM. So if you're running around doing a bunch of stuff, going and hitting those after Halloween clearance sales, oh man, I cannot wait to get out and start hitting those sales. I was coming home from the Pembroke Library last night, and I stopped at Walmart in Plymouth. I had gone to Walmart earlier in the day to get something, and I forgot to get the other things that I needed. So I said, and I still forgot something else too on top of that. But I was like, all right, I'll stop at the Plymouth one on my way home from the Pembroke Library, which, by the way, great crowd. Thank you to everybody that popped in last night to hear me talk about Ghost of the Bridgewater Triangle. Great crowd, great questions afterwards. Fantastic time out there. But I stopped at the Walmart, and the Halloween stuff was 25% off. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to start stocking up for next year then. And I looked around. There wasn't a whole lot left. And then I saw the fine print on the sign, you know, excludes costumes, Well, I guess that makes sense because, you know, the people who are running out to get a last-minute costume, they don't deserve to get 25% off. So I totally understand some of that, but I'd rather go back, you know, tomorrow when costumes are included. And it used to be that I would clean up with Halloween clearance. So I would do up my yard every year, but I never would go out and buy anything new. I would always wait until after Halloween and then go hit, I'd hit Kmart, I'd hit Walmart, I'd hit Target, I'd hit every store that had Halloween decorations that would put them on sale. You know, a Spirit Halloween, they're just going to pack everything up and bring it back out again next year. But a place like Walmart, Target, they don't want to store all that. They're going to discount it, have it be clearance. CVS, I have a skeleton hanging up in my office that I got at CVS. So I would hit all of these stores and just collect all that stuff and sit on it for the next year. And then when I would go down to set up my Halloween display, I'd say, oh, I forgot I had this. But you don't really get those same experiences anymore because people clean out the store well before. Halloween has become like Christmas when it comes to decorations and people getting excited about it. And it's only been in the last 10 years or so that it's taken off like this. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take one final break before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. All right, that is going to do it for the first hour. We are in the books. 1 hour down, two more to go, and more with you coming up at 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to learn about a new business that has opened up here in Fairhaven. And we're going to talk more about Halloween because this is, well, my favorite day of the year, even though I'm not really going to get a chance to enjoy it as much this year as I have in years past. It's still the best day of the year, in my opinion. The day when everybody gets a little spooky, not just me. So I'm willing to get spooky with you. Whatever you want to talk about. Horror movies, Halloween candy, your best Halloween costume of all time, your worst Halloween costume of all time.